I'm not moichel them. Unless they ask me for mechila, I'm not moichel them.
But it was the same person who wrapped up the board.
No, it's a different person.
For $100 you can get a CCD camera and have it focused on the sign.
But I got too many signs to have to get cameras. Yeah. It's not worth it.
No, but I'm just saying, if you know one sign's in a location where somebody
whatever. It's been a lot of signs. It's a lot of signs in a lot of places. There's wicked people, but Hashem loves us. He'll take care of us. All right. Good evening, gentlemen. We continue in the Rambam, Hilchos Yontov, Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud, Chapter 3, Law 10, page 216 and 217. We're learning more laws about preparation of food on Yontov with collateral issues that can create problems for us. So Halacha Yud, okay? 216, 217. Ein ofin bifurne chadosho. You can't bake with a purne. A purne is a large stove, and it is also chadosho, a new stove. And it's made out of earthenware. It's an earthenware large stove, a brand new one, brand new, right from Sears. Right? And first day you want to use it, you want to bake your breads on Yontif. Now, is anything wrong with baking bread on Yontif per se?
No, you're allowed to bake.
But it's a brand new earthenware stove. So you're
going to be hardening the metal.
No, not that one. Another problem. Xera, the problem is on Halacha Yud. The problem, lest what will happen, Shema Tifchas. A new oven, it could get damaged the first run. Uh-oh. And because it hasn't been, didn't have all these, ways to test these ovens before they take it out to the market. No quality control. So the first time you use an oven, there is a likelihood, I don't know how great, but there's a likelihood that part of the wall will cave in.
Really?
And the food, and the stuff will go on. Imagine, you're baking a challah, all of a sudden, a little bit of the roof
comes
in, and now you got some earthenware on top of your challah, and you ain't got no challahs.
It's because it's fired in the kiln, the earthenware might have air in it.
Whatever, but
what does he say here about the Tenerife Shalano?
Hold on. So maybe that'll happen. So let's read down the Rambam. Continuing, Shema Tivchas. Maybe it will be damaged, the oven, because it's a new oven, hasn't been tested. The Tavse Lechem, and will damage the bread. Oh, and what happens then? The Imonami Sivchas Yantif, and it will take away from your joy of Yantif.
So they have bread
because of the oven. The oven has damaged the bread. I have no bread to eat.
Aren't you unhappy that the oven's broken?
Forget about the oven. I have no challah to eat on Yontif.
There's no oven. You got no bread to cook.
What?
You need the oven to cook the bread. So if you only got a new oven.
So guess what? Don't order a new oven for Yontif. However, that was in the Rambam's days. But our ovens, that they're made out of brick, and we put cement in between every brick to make it very strong. There's no concern in our ovens. This is already the times of the Mishnah Berurah brings down. We don't have to worry about it. Any ovens you come from the store, you don't have to worry about them.
And today in our ovens, we don't have to worry about
today. We don't have to worry about roof collapse. So that's halacha number one. Number two, how about ein gorfin tanur v'kiraim? Let's say, for example, that some plaster fell into the ashes and the coals, and you want to cook. A lot of cooking happens because of the heat of the ashes and the coal. So what you want to do it, but this plaster over here is going to be very difficult for me to put the challah in. It's going to get in the way, and it can mess up the challah. So what I'd really like to do, I'd like to rake out those ashes and the coal that is not good, right? So you can't do this. He's saying you cannot do this, and we'll see in a minute what the reason is over here. It's interesting. I wrote a page number, and it's the I wrote the wrong page. Now the problem over here is, here's the problem. The problem is you're going to be extinguishing the coals. The problem is you're going to be extinguishing the coals. When you take the coals out of the oven, what's going to happen? The coals are going to get extinguished. And stop to extinguish things on Yontif, you're not allowed to do that. So you're not allowed to do that, but we'll come back to that. So therefore, even though it's going to be hard, how am I going to bake? Because things in the way, the broken part of the stove is, let's say, broken before I making the next batch of challah, let's say, whatever. So I want to put a challah in, and the coals are messed up, and this yucky stuff there. I want to just clean it out. Once you take it out, that's going to extinguish it. That's going to be a major problem. What you can do is, though, you can press down the ash to make it lower, and by making it lower, then that's okay. In other words, so it doesn't get in the way. And you haven't extinguished it, but you can make it go lower. However, what if, though, there's no way you can bake? There's so much ash, there's so much coal, I can't press it down. And what I got is the broken junk that's on top of it, and if I don't clean it out, I ain't having any bread for Yontif. In other words, the first halacha says, don't clean it out, because by cleaning out, you're extinguishing it. So don't do that. But you can just push it down, so there'll be room in the oven for the rest. But what if I can't push it down? It's too much, and I can't do it unless I clean it out. Then mutar, you're allowed to do it.
Is it shinui?
What? It doesn't say if you have to use a shinui. It says you're allowed to do it. So even though you are extinguishing the coals, right? But however, here it by enabling you to cook, then you're allowed. As we know, halacha is you are allowed to extinguish the coals to avoid it from making the food burn. Let's say.
Right. Uh-huh.
That's right. You're allowed to lower a flame. A lot lower flame if it's going to burn. So, therefore, and especially, I'm lowering the flame because I can't cook and I don't have any food to eat. So, the more so, you could do it under that situation as well. Well, it's low. Let's say lowering it. It will ultimately get extinguished.
Oh, but you're not
putting it out. You're just taking it out.
You're lowering it. By taking it out, it will eventually get extinguished. Right. And you're lowering the flame. Okay. Next halacha. What about the oven, and you want to make sure the oven is very airtight and sealed? So, v'sosmin pia tanur, you can close up the opening of the oven, v'tit v'refesh shebesviva sanor, with mud and sediment that comes from the neighboring river.
It could be forming, though.
Well, you could just put it in there. But however, v'hu shericho meyemesh, where that sediment or mud was already softened up yesterday. But to take the mud and water and legabel, like to
work
it out and to make
it,
to mix it and all that, that's awesome. You can't do that because that's already a melacha. Umotar legabel asa'efer listam b'avir, but you can mix up ashes. You can mix ashes with water to make a clay-like mixture because the Rambam Shita is ashes and water is not prohibited like sediment and water is. Okay, next. Yud Aleph. Tanur v'kiraim chadoshim, a new stove or oven. Ein sochin osam b'shem v'yontov. When you're baking, you can't smear oil on top of it on yontov. Because it was the normal way to smear new ovens because it makes them shinier and stronger. It's a good thing for the oven. Well, guess what? We don't do things for the oven on yontov. Right? So you can't put oil on them. Vein toshin osam b'mitelas. We don't rub them with a cloth. Vein mafigin osam b'tzonen kidei lechasmam. And we don't pour cold water on them in order to make them strong. All three to make it strong. And those are things that improve the quality of the oven. We can't do that. However, on the other hand, vein bishvil le'efos. But what if it's for the purpose of baking? In other words, you've got to make the oven strong so it bakes properly and won't burn the bread. Let's say it's an ineffective oven, and the oven now, if I don't strengthen it a little bit, will damage the bread. So now it's really for the bread, not for the oven. So in that case, mutar, it's allowed.
Same action, but it's intent.
Right. Because it's for the food. In other words, that guy says, well, you know, the food will be fine, but I'd like the oven to be better. That's, you can't.
But it's actually sincere to lower the temperature of the oven. I mean, that makes sense. You put cold water on it.
Oh, yes. One second. Yeah, I'm sorry, you have to make it cooler. Yeah, I'm sorry. And so it won't burn. You're right. Good, thank you. That's right. He says, to make it cooler, so you can bake because it will burn it otherwise. You don't want it to burn, so you're cooling it down that way. Good, thank you. Next. We don't heat up stones. To roast or bake on them. Because it makes the stones stronger. Many people comment on this. Is really a Gemara that says, talking about tiles and not stones. They wonder whether I'm going to use stones, not tiles. Okay, anyway. Next. Umasikin va'ofin b'furne. You may cook, bake with a purne, with a large oven. Or, and as well, umachamin chamin va'antichi. You can warm up hot water in a cauldron. Now, what's the issue about these two things? We're talking about a large oven and a large cauldron. And I might think we would not allow to do this because people will think you're making it for more than just Yontif. Using a large cauldron, it looks like you want to make a lot of, want to make a lot. So one would think you're praying for the next day. Rama says we don't have to concern ourselves for that.
Let's go back to the beginning of that. We say we can't heat the stones, even though it's for the intent of roasting or baking, because it could seal them. I thought we just said previously that you could do something if it's for the intent.
No, so what Howard pointed out, I made a mistake. You're not fixing the oven, you're just lowering the temperature of the oven. It must be referring to the last case, you're watering it down with cold water to make the oven less hot.
But it says you can't apply cold water to seal it.
To seal it. But if it's for baking purposes...
Right, so then we're not heating the stones. If it's for baking purposes, you think you could heat the stones.
But he's doing it to make the... It says, because it strengthens the stones.
No, but it says we may not heat... In English, it says we may not heat the stones with the intent of roasting.
Keep reading.
Because it seals it.
Oh!
That's not the intent.
But you will be sealing it.
Well, the other, you will be doing whatever cold water does.
No, it's just lowering the temperature. That's the point he's saying. It's only lowering the temperature.
No, but the first part of that sentence says you can't apply cold water to seal it.
To seal it, but I can apply cold water if it's not sealing it, but just lowering the temperature.
Yes.
But wouldn't that seal it, too?
I guess it's a case where it's not sealing it.
Okay. Because I thought the first thing said...
I made a mistake, and Howard corrected it. So
I think it's still a question in my mind, even with how it's... But I'll leave it.
Yeah, okay. Yud Beis.
We got no problem with heating the water in the cauldron.
Well, you're allowed to do that on Yom Tif. You're allowed to heat water on Yom Tif on hot water.
With a fire? You can
On Yom Tif, you're allowed to cook and bake.
It's a pre-existing flame.
Can you cook soup on Yom Tif?
Yeah,
right.
Yud Beis. How about can you make cheese on Yom Tif? You cannot make cheese on Yom Tif. Why? Because what do you have to do? You have to curdle it, right? And that's a malacha. You can't make cheese on Shabbos. That's a malacha. But on Yom Tov, you could if it's to eat the cheese, but no, not over here. Why? Because here is the rule we know. Shim gibe me'erev Yom Tov, because if you would have made it on Erev Yom Tov, you wouldn't lose any taste. And we have the rule is, whatever you could do on Erev Yom Tov and you won't lose any taste, you can't do it on Yom Tov. If you make cheese on Erev Yom Tov, it'll be just as fresh and tasty the next day.
You can't say you like...
No, there's no such thing as fresher cheese. That's the point. Right. It's no deficiency at all. Meat, yes. Cheese, no. But other things is interesting. How about dochenes atfolim kedarkan? What about you want to smash some spices? So you may smash them in the normal way. Why? Well, smash them the day before. No.
Not as fresh.
Shin yaduch ha'samim be'erev, you would smash spices the day before.
Yofug
tamam, the spice taste will get detracted, will weaken. Now, what about salt? Avol melach, but salt, ein anidach b'yantif. You don't crush, pound salt on yantif, because it really isn't going to lose much taste. We'll see in a minute. Elim came. The only we could do it is imhita hamachtesh, if you tilt the pestle. I mean to say you're doing it with a shinui. You know, you normally, I guess, the pestle is the thing you hit it with, right? Right? That's the pestle. This is the mortar.
Yeah, right. You got it.
It's the pestle. So normally, I guess, you'd go like this.
Yes.
So now you tilt it. You go a place like that a little bit.
On an angle. On an angle.
And then that's okay. Oh, shiyaruch bikara, or let's say you smash it on a plate and not in a mortar. So you have to make some kind of shinui. Because here's the point. Because if you do crush the salt on Erev Yom Tov, it wouldn't lose the taste. Therefore, if you want to do it, you could do it with a shinui.
You can't make cheese with a shinui?
I guess you can't make... There's only one way to make cheese. I guess. Pepper. You don't crush pepper with the normal pepper crusher. Right? Because I guess there's a big machine that you've used to crush it with, because that's like a weekday activity. Rather, use just a little mortar like you do for other spices and the shini. Here is a different concern. The concern is refrain. You know, it's usually pepper with a big machine. It's done with large quantities and would look like you're making large quantities that are not, even if you're not. But the rabbi said, we don't want to do those things that make it look like we're doing large quantities. Which
you're not talking about a little thing that's on the table that you...
No, we're talking about like a real...
Like sifting.
Like, you use a real pepper mill that, you know, just grinds the pepper and, you know...
No. So we will talk about that shortly. Okay, let's just go a little bit for... Let's do one more, then we'll do a little halacha inside. Yud Gimel. Okay, or if you want, we can do it right now. It doesn't really matter. So let's give a few rules. And I'll make it a little clearer here. Okay. So the halacha is, it depends, there's a number of factors. And first factor is, what kind of food is this? We're talking now in terms of grinding. Okay? There's three types of foods. There's the foods that, if you grind it in advance, you don't lose any taste. You could do it yesterday, the day before. It's going to taste exactly the same if you do it today or yesterday. That's one kind of food. Another one, that if you do it yesterday, it loses a little bit of the taste, but not a lot. And another one, third category, loses a lot of the taste if you do it the day before. Okay, if I grind it the day before. So, the halacha is as follows. So foods that are normally ground for a short-term use and that wouldn't lose any of their taste if you would have prepared in advance for yontif, right? That's first case. So let's say you're grinding nuts. Take a nut, and you're grinding a nut to use, let's say, on top of cake or ice cream. So now, do nuts lose any of their taste if you smash them up before? Well, they don't.
No.
They don't. So therefore, let's say you didn't grind the nuts before yontif, right?
That's not good.
So the only way you can do it is if you do it with a shinui. With a shinui, you can do it. If you do it differently, you can do it. So therefore, if nuts are normally ground, let's say, in a bowl, so you should grind them in a paper towel or directly onto the table, right? However, what's clear is you should not intentionally on Erev Yontif say, well, you know, I can get away with it by doing it a shinu on Yontif,
no,
so I'm going
to
on purpose not do it on Erev Yontif because I'm going to do it on Yontif.
That
you shouldn't do. But if that's, you never got around to it and whatever, and now you're stuck. You want to put some nuts, sprinkle them on top of the cake. So then if you do it with a shinui, and also you should only grind when you do it with a shinui, only what you need,
yeah,
and not more. So that's the first rule. So that's something where no taste is lost at all. You can do it. You should do it before. If you didn't do it before, then do it with a shinui, and then that's fine. That's rule number one. Rules number two, foods that will lose some of their taste beforehand if they're ground before yontif. So they may be ground on yontif. You can wait for yontif, because why should you have even lose any taste? But the custom is, still in all, to use a shinui, though. Still use a shinui. Even though mitzvah, the halacha, you wouldn't need a shinui, but the custom is you should use a shinui. So, for example, how about horseradish on yontif?
Grinding.
Now, if grinding, right, grate horseradish on yontif, well, it loses some of its sharpness over time,
yeah,
right? But it doesn't lose its sharpness completely. It doesn't lose it completely. So the accepted custom is you could do it, grind it on yontif, but it should be with a shinui. So therefore, you shouldn't grate it directly into a bowl like a normal manner, but either on a paper towel or turn the grater upside down. Let's do it the other direction, and that's fine. So that's ones that lose a little bit of its taste, like horseradish. Now, what about if it would really lose a lot of its taste if it's prepared in advance before yontif? So let's say dicing vegetables for a salad. If you're going to dice vegetables the day before yontif, they're not going to look so good on yontif. So they'd lose a lot of their crispness. So therefore, or similarly, how about a banana?
Yeah, go for that.
You mash a banana day beforehand, right?
Yeah.
So therefore these things you can wait and you can grind them in the regular manner. All right? So clear. So things that lose their taste a lot, you can wait till yontif and grind it in the regular manner. Things that don't lose their taste, or things that lose a little bit of taste, again, if they don't lose their taste, you should certainly do it before yontif. But if you didn't, you do the shinui. Things that lose a little bit of taste, you don't have to do it before yontif, but you should still what? Do it with a shinui.
Where's pepper folk?
So let's... So they bring a whole list of it and says pepper should be done with a shinui.
Yeah.
You can grind it.
What?
You can grind it.
Well, you can with a shinui. So
yeah, not the normal way.
What category is it? Is it the category of you should do it before, or you can do it on the day with a shinui?
I'm not sure.
See the category one or two.
Let's talk about big pepper preparation.
Which is another the next thing we have to get to.
So, like, if you've got a little pepper,
let's go to the next. There's another section we have to go through. It's called specialized grinding utensils.
You do it. That's not a shinui.
Okay.
Use
right. So here, listen to this. Let's say this: the use of a utensil made expressly for grinding. Let's read a little more. The use of a utensil made expressly for grinding, like a grater, you can't do it on Shabbos.
Right. Absolutely.
Even if the malach of grinding doesn't apply to it, right? And therefore, you can't grate cheese with a grater on Shabbos, even though there's no malach of tochen on Shabbos, because on cheese, because it's not really. But on Yontif,
how are you violating Shabbos with the cheese? What are you doing?
Okay, you're not. We're saying you're not, but you still can't use. You can't use a specialized
implement.
On Shabbos. On Yontif, specialized grinding utensils could be used for any type of food mitzad adin, but the rabbis don't allow us to grind with any utensils that are usually done for long-term preparations. In other words, if you're going to make a lot. Usually this utensil makes a lot, even though you only plan for a little, we don't let you use it on
your food. You grind it on your food, like as a one-time use. You know,
right. So let's see. Let's keep reading. All right, so that's...
it's becoming a bit of a grind, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit of suspense, right? So that's one, right? Now, how about special grinding utensils, such as a grater and a potato masher? So they can be used on Yontif, because they're usually used for only short-term preparation. It's only, you know, you're not going to mash up potatoes for a month's worth of potatoes. You're going to do basically for today. That's what you're going to use. But a shinui is required for all foods that would lose only some taste if prepared in advance, like we learned already. So that's true for foods like fish and cheese that don't fall under the prohibition of grinding. You still couldn't grind them if you grind them just with a shinui, because they wouldn't lose so much taste. If a lot of taste would be lost in advance, you don't need a shinui, even when using a specialized grinding tool, and even if the foods grow from the ground. Okay, so now we're seeing that if we lose a lot, you don't have to do a shinui, right? Now, one last point. So let's say foods that can be ground on yontif, but they can't be ground on utensils that are normally used for large quantities. And that's what we don't grind in a mill.
Which is what the number
on yontif. And a commercial grinder is similarly not permitted. But how about a household grinder? So there's a whole question. So whether you can use yontif, because it's similar to the commercial grinder, just smaller.
Right.
Smaller scale. They were best not to use it on yontif. But foods that don't fall under the category of grinding at all, ever, like meat and eggs, they can be ground in a household grinder if necessary, but again, only with a shinui. Okay, so now, let's get to the main summary over here and the final foods that you're interested in hearing about. So if you're using a specialized grinding utensil, it's permitted on yontif if it is utensil is not usually used for large amounts. A. Right? All foods that would not lose a lot of their taste if prepared in advance need a shinui when using this utensil. And that's true even for foods to which there's no malacha applying.
So you can use a shinui with the utensil.
Right. So you can if it's a short term amount with a shinui, you could use this a regular
you use
localized
your left hand instead of your
utensil.
Right hand or
something? Well, simply just put it in a have it fall on it, put it on a napkin.
Okay.
Wouldn't that be the simple thing? So now here's a list. He brings a partial list of foods that do not need a shinui because they totally will get yucked up in advance. Potatoes, bananas, matzah, apples, onions, and vegetables for salad. Those are for sure don't need any shinui. The ones that should have a shinui, pepper, cheese on a grater, or horseradish. So you need to have some kind of shinui for pepper now. Because really, you could have... I know it's cool, it looks cool, you have the thing and you're doing it, you know, over the salad, but it's really cool. But, you know, you could also have it in a little... You could have it in a little shaker, you know, in a little... To grind it and put it in a little container and just pour it over on yogurt.
Right, you can buy it ground.
Right?
Yeah.
You buy ground.
Sure.
But at this, you know.
We have a little spoon.
So you say, but I guess when you do it fresh, it loses a little. I guess the ground loosens a little. Therefore, it says use a shinui.
Yeah, very little.
You're not going to say it loses its taste completely.
No, not at all. No.
Right? It's a little. You lose a little of the taste. So what are we saying? But you're using a. It's a real professional tool for that, isn't
it?
So you'd have to make some kind of shinui. We'd have to figure what would be the shinui when you're turning the thing.
Yeah.
To me, I would say the best shinui is turn it into an empty utensil and then pour it from the empty utensil into the salad.
Isn't it turning it onto the utensil the normal way?
The normal way, you do it right onto your salad. We have this grinder. What's the normal way to use those hand grinders?
It's to put on the food.
Right on the salad. So what would the shinui be? Well, something not right on the salad. So just put it on a, on any other utensil. Put it in a cup or something, and then from the cup, just sprinkle it on. Right. Which is not cool. That's right. It's not cool. You're losing all the coolness in this situation. Before Shabbos, for sure. But you don't have to go that far.
Yeah, I'm gonna have it ground for Shabbos.
Yeah, but I lose a little of the taste. Wait a minute. Shabbos,
you can't grind out the best of times. So
that's Shabbos. But on Yom Tov, we're saying, and you like to taste a little better, you could grind it right before. Just grind it into a bowl or whatever and then pour it from the bowl.
Saying it loses some taste.
According to you guys, I don't know. I don't like peppers. I can't.
I don't think most people could not tell the difference. Very discriminatory taste. Most people could not tell the difference.
Nothing to sneeze at.
It adds to the food and the ambiance. It is a visual thing, but it adds to it.
But what's the real taste?
Very few people could tell the difference.
This is pepper, right?
Pepper.
So what happens if you just took a pepper from a pepper shaker and put it
in?
It loses some of the taste. Then what's the halacha?
You really shouldn't do it.
But you could do it with a shinui.
Yeah, you forgot.
You shouldn't leave it. But let's do simple. What if you've got pepper in a pepper shaker, and then you got this you want to grind?
That's the only pepper you have.
No, you have two peppers. You got the pepper in the fancy grinder, and you got a pepper shaker. I hate peppers, so I can't tell you. I'm just saying, if it's the same, then just...
Well, a lot of people, you know, with their grinders, they don't have two. You need one for milk and one for meat, so a lot of people just have the one.
Okay, so then that's the idea over there. Okay. Well, let's just do one more, please. Yud Gimel. Let's do one more halacha. Yud Gimel.
I always wondered about that. How can you contaminate something from meat and milk?
Okay, let's not go there right now.
Yud Gimel.
Ein kochin es harifos. We don't crush rifos. Rifos is oats.
Groats.
Well, but it's sorim oats. Groats.
Groats here.
Groats is oats.
Groats are oats. Right? It's just with a G.
You don't crush oats. The machtesh is called with a big oat grinder.
Oh boy.
Right? Now you're going to see in a minute what the difference is here. Aval kochin b'machtesh es ketana. But you can use a small one. Why? Shezeu ha-shinui shelo. That would be a shinui.
In other words, I guess
groats that are ground before, I guess not much of a difference in the taste.
But didn't we say that a small one is the same as a large one? It's just a household.
But I guess normally it's not done with a small one. I guess there's a household one that's big and a household one that's small.
But how about an Eretz Yisrael?
Now listen to this. You can't even use a small one in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Shatfua shalahem tovahi. Because the grain in Eretz Yisrael is amazing. Im kochin osom erev yontif. And if you would have ground it on erev yontif, Eim b'kachef said you wouldn't lose anything.
Wow.
In other words, the point being, there's the big difference in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. In Eretz Yisrael, the groats are so amazing that even if you grind them on Erev Yom Tov, it tastes exactly the same as on Yom Tov. So therefore, what are we saying you have to do there? You can't even use a small one.
You can't do it.
I thought we said that after the fact you could.
Not in Eretz Yisrael.
No, but I thought we said if it loses no flavor, you should do it before, but if you forget, then you still can with the shino.
It's forbidden, because it doesn't lose anything, so it's forbidden.
No, but I thought we said if it doesn't lose anything, You're supposed to do it before Yontif, but if you don't,
well,
you
that's the halacha we're saying, not the Rambam's.
Okay, but that is our.
We don't hold like this.
All right. Okay.
But okay. But so now the question is, right? So, that, but in Chutz La'aretz, you can use the small one because it does lower into Rambam's position as to some diminishment to be able to use it with a shinui. Now it's interesting. What about the case of the salt? What did the Rambam say by the salt?
Mm.
He allowed you to do it with a shinui.
Yeah. That salt loses
but,
no flavor.
But it doesn't lose any flavor. So why are we allowed to do that? The answer is because salt is a necessity for a meal, while groats is not. Who can eat a meal without salt? Come on.
It's got high blood pressure.
Salt is a necessity. Salt is a necessity. Groats, not such a necessity. So you didn't prepare your groats in advance, and it could be essential. But from the Rambam, it appears, right? You can't do these things, right? That's what he's saying, unless it would lose the taste. Okay, good place to stop. Tomorrow we'll finish up the parak and move a little bit on.